Hello everyone and welcome back to ThickCast. I am your host Molly Edwards and today I'm going to finish off this kind of wellness diary series with you all with a bit of like history of wellness and just kind of my thoughts around the class, where I think it's headed, where I think I see mistakes being made in it training wise, my kind of thoughts as a coach, as a judge, and all of that. So first, I've actually done a bit of research into kind of like the history of the wellness division. And I'm going to say for a class that's only really been around for like a few years, it's been really, really hard to find any information about like the history of this class. I was hoping I would just Google the history of wellness bodybuilding and I'd just get like a timeline of like this day so-and-so stepped on stage in the first ever wellness class and it was held here, blah, blah, blah. But I can't find that. So I've had to watch various YouTube videos, look on various sites and try and picture together some sort of, history of wellness for you all. So from what I can understand, wellness originated in Brazil. And I'm not sure quite when that class came, but it was around in kind of the Brazil bodybuilding scene. And what's quite interesting there is obviously we're talking about female wellness here, but I'd say maybe about a month or two ago now, there was the first ever men's wellness class, which was held in Brazil as well. So I actually think that's quite interesting that it's kind of must be a look that Brazil goes for. Like, if you know the culture of Brazil, like I've never actually been there, but knowing kind of the culture of Brazil, like they are quite a flamboyant culture. They are very like beautiful, like curvy women and stuff, and clearly men as well. So the kind of fashion there must be kind of a bigger lower half. And that's kind of where it kind of all originated from what I can see. Online. So from what I can see as well, I think that those classes were a bit like kind of like RPCA, NFM over here. And then it kind of went through to NPC and the IFBB. So in terms of the IFBB and the NPC, like I can actually tell you some more facts about that. Like the Brazil bit, I'm kind of like, this is from what I can kind of see little bits. But I know that the first NPC show to have wellness in was the Fit Expo show in LA in 2020. So that was the first ever NPC wellness show or wellness class, that one was. So that's really cool. And if you look at that first lineup of the athletes in the wellness class, it was quite a varied level of condition, varied level of kind of muscle mass. And I guess it took a little while. I mean, we're talking now like 4 years ago, I was in the NPC, right? It took a little while for, I guess, coaches, athletes to really understand the criteria and what they wanted. Now, in the defense of the NPC, from what I can see, they've been very clear cut with the criteria. This is what we want. And that's actually what they've always rewarded. So I actually think that people should have quite a good understanding of the wellness criteria now, because I actually think it's really, really obvious when you do your research into it, when you look into it. So at the beginning, they basically said they wanted the same kind of condition of bikini, upper half to be kind of similar to bikini, but lower half to be a lot more dominant. And I think it's kind of that thirds rule. So I'd say like 2/3 lower body, like 1/3 upper body. And that's literally what they said from the start. And you can actually see on that NPC show, the athletes across the board on that class were very, very different. You know, some were a little bit more balanced than others. Some of them were, you know, really, really tight. Some of them were really, really soft. So I guess that first kind of show, they were kind of like, don't know. And they kind of went for it. But yeah, that's kind of where it started. And then in 2020, the Arnold, Ohio, was where the first ever wellness pro card was handed out on the 5th of March. And I thought I'd written down her name, but I haven't. So maybe I couldn't find it out. But that was where the first ever pro card was handed out, in the wellness division, which then obviously created more pros after that. And the wellness class first appeared in the Olympia, actually the year later in 2021, where Franciella won. And she's actually won every year since. So if you're ever confused about what wellness should look like, just look at her, because clearly, like, that is it. That is what they want in wellness. And again, that shows to me that the criteria is actually very, very clear cut, because the same girl has stood on that stage and won it over and over again, every single Olympia, you know? So yeah, I do think, and obviously she just won the Arnos Ohio as well. So I do think that it's quite clear cut what they want. In terms of other federations in the UK bringing it in, I know that NFM had it in 2021 as well. So they were pretty, up ahead of the game. And I guess as well with NFM, they are American-based. So as much as, well, they were American-based, I'm not too sure now. They're partnered with the WFF. But when they were partnered with the GBO, obviously, the GBO is an American organization. Their finals was in Texas, in America. So obviously, when the trends go in America with the GBO, they obviously then come over with the NFM. And I think you can really see that when you see their judging abroad previously as well. The girls that I've judged on stage in NFM shows, the girls that look close to the IFBB criteria are the ones that win, especially over in Texas. So yeah, that's just another thing that's worth noting there as well, which is completely off topic of wellness. But yeah, so that's what I've looked into. And obviously we know, if you listen to all the Wellness Diary series, you know Hattie, my first guest on here, was our first ever PCA wellness champ in 2022. So PCA was a little bit later onto the game. So I don't know if any of you guys remember, but wellness was a thing in 2021. Like, there were definitely like wellness girlies out there. And I remember a friend of mine couldn't compete in, you know, she was wellness, but wanted to compete at PCA. And I think she trained bikini because you just couldn't fit anywhere else. Like, wellness doesn't fit anywhere else. It only fits in wellness, you know. Every other class is balanced. Like, you could argue, like, if you were like top end muscular of bikini, like, could you do toned figure? Yeah, probably. Like, I mean, you might not win, but you could do it, and you could probably make like top five potentially, depending on the lineup, because it is similar, you know, it is a balanced physique either way. But then when you look at wellness, and I say same with figure, like, you could step down into bikini and you just be a more muscular bikini girl, and again, you might not be the best down the day. But again, it always depends on who's in that lineup. And I'm talking like amateur PCA there. But with wellness, obviously, you can't really step anywhere, because your feedback, if you go as a wellness athlete into figure or bikini, or train bikini, is always going to be more upper body, because your legs won't match. So yeah, really interesting kind of bit of history there. And I definitely found it quite interesting looking into it. So there were some really good YouTubes and stuff looking, especially that first show. I did find that interesting. But I do think now that the IFBB are very like, this is what we want. And I think other federations are as well. I certainly think that NFM is. I certainly think that PCA is. Like, you can really see what they want with their wellness girls. There's a couple of other federations where I'm a bit like, I'm not really sure what you're looking for here. But I mean, personally, I just wouldn't put my clients in their shows. But certainly with PCA and NFM, like, it's very clear what they want. And again, with Two Bros being that kind of branch of the IFBB, you can really see it all. So that's really cool. So yeah, kind of as a judge, like, what I've personally seen with wellness is very similar to kind of that first wellness show that I spoke about with the NPC, that a lot of the times when you judge a wellness class, as like for myself personally, and quite a few of the other judges on the table, again, it depends who I'm sat next to, we're often really excited about the wellness class because the wellness class is such a beautiful class. You know, it's very like feminine energy, but it's also quite powerful energy, I think, the wellness class. It's like really beautiful, sassy posing. The girls always look great. And, you know, it's just such an incredible shape. And every time you look at them, you're like, oh, I wish I could look like that. But I know as well that I'm never going to be a wellness girl. I'm always going to be in bikini. So it's kind of like that excitement before they come out. And sometimes they come out and you just have this fantastic class and you just get to judge this array of fantastic athletes. And then other times they come out and I feel like not one of them has kind of hit the criteria. Is that the athlete's fault? In my opinion, absolutely not, no. I think it's the judge's fault for, the coach's fault for telling them that they should be in that class when they don't fit it. So a lot of the time what I see is, and this is kind of the kind of bad side of it, is girls that are not in condition. I would say that is the biggest thing that I see is girls are not in condition in wellness. And I think it's because it's like a bigger lower half. Maybe that's why they think. Maybe they think because if you look at your likes of Pure Elite, the Pure Elite wellness class is actually more body fat dominant in the legs than what you would find in bikini or figure or whatever. And, you know, you can read that on their rules. It says more body fat in the lower half. Now, I kind of personally separate kind of your Pure Elites, your Miami Pros, WBFF and PCA, NFM, Two Bros. I separate all of those in my head because the way I see it is Pure Elite and that is fitness fashion. Their criteria are completely different, you know? You just got to look at the costumes and see that. And PCA, NFM, etc. are really quite similar in what they're looking for. So that's kind of if you fit this class in Pure Elite, are you going to fit that class in PCA, in NFM? I mean, potentially, but also potentially not. You would probably actually need to gain a little bit of weight to fit in Pure Elite and lose some more to fit in the other ones. So that's where the only bit that I can see where there could be confusion and why people aren't understanding it. But for me personally, like I think that as a coach, you've got to understand that each different federation, their criteria are ever so slightly different. Now, not completely, because if you're bikini in PCA, you're probably also bikini in NFM, you're also bikini in UKUP, you're also bikini in GPO, etc. But the criteria might be slightly different. So the posing is slightly different. The condition is slightly different, you know? We know in NABBA, they want quite a soft look. We know in PCA, they want a really, really hard look. So again, when you're taking that into wellness, you need to look at that and what they're looking for. So for sure, in the more bodybuilding style federations, they want condition. They want the same condition that you'd see in a good bikini athlete. So they want to see those like beautiful glute ham tie-ins. And actually in wellness, you should have the muscle mass that those glute ham tie-ins are just popping through anyway. I mean, you look at the girls that I've had on the podcast, yeah? You look at their rear shots and their glute ham tie-ins are just there. Like even in off-season, they're pretty much there because the amount of muscle they're holding. So you want to see those nice glute ham tie-ins. You don't want to see like serrated glutes. You don't want to see real dugout hamstrings. You don't want to see real feathering of the quads, none of that. We just want to see like a nice round bubbly muscle with good separations between those, you know, good, really strong tie-ins, good separations between the major muscle groups. The same with the upper body as well, you know, we want nice, tight, tight waist, a little bit of detailing on the midsection, but again, not really heavy etched in hard abs, not really heavy etched in serrated shoulders, but just nice roundness in them. And that I think is, like I said, the biggest thing that I see mistake wise. The other thing is just not having the muscle mass. So the thing is with wellness, like it is a muscular class and I think people forget that, but it really is a muscular half. You want the top half the same as bikini. You want the bottom half more so towards figure, maybe a little bit more so. So to get that muscle mass, it's going to take time. You know, to be a bikini athlete that has a good amount of muscle mass, and which in wellness, you need a good amount of muscle mass on your upper half. You know, you need to be that, not just a bikini athlete that just fits up there, but, you know, like a top level bikini athlete with good round bubbly shoulders. You need that in wellness. And like, obviously that takes time to build that. And the same with the legs. It takes time to build those wellness legs up, you know? So do I think most wellness girls are probably going to be that little bit older? Yeah. Would I also really, really love to see a junior wellness class? 100% yes. From what I can understand, there is a junior wellness class in Tubros, but there isn't in PCA, there isn't NFM, there isn't any of the others. And I would actually really, really like to see that, because I do think there's a lot of girls that are going down that route of wellness that are kind of juniors, that are younger. I've got an athlete that I've said to her, like, maybe she could go that way if she wanted to, but she is younger. So if she went in an open class, like, she's not going to have that muscle maturity, that muscle density just yet. So I think if we opened up a wellness junior class, do I think it'd be good? Yeah, like, you look at the junior bikini girls, they are that little bit softer, they are that little bit smaller, they are not as hard, they are not as dense, mature muscle. They're not going to be, because they're like under 23 years old. Same with junior bodybuilding, right? The boys, they're a little bit smaller. They're not always, to be fair, but they do tend to be that bit smaller. You know, I think men's bodybuilding juniors, maybe not so in the condition front, but they don't have that heavy, dense muscle as well. And I do think it'd be really cool to see a junior wellness class. I think I actually think it's really needed, because wellness is such a standalone class, you know. With junior bikini, it might be that they start off in junior bikini, but later on down the line, they move up into figure. And like, that's cool, because actually the look is similar in the aspect that it is a balanced look. Because wellness isn't, you haven't kind of got that option. And wellness, as we've heard from the previous guest, is very much a class that chooses you. And that's where I kind of think that, like, having that class for them would be really, really good. Like, if your body just is a wellness shape, if your muscle grows legs and you struggle to build your upper half, if your hips are just quite wide and your shoulders are quite narrow, all those things, you're better off doing wellness. But you kind of need that opportunity to do it younger as well. And I'm also a big fan of junior class as well, because I feel like a junior class, there isn't that expectation for loads and loads of muscle. There isn't an expectation to be super hard, super dry. And I actually think it keeps it safer for the athlete as well, that as a junior, I don't think you should be using performance enhancing drugs. I think you're too young. I don't think you've reached your natural kind of peak. I can't think of the word now, but yeah, your natural kind of range, your natural ability to grow muscle at 23 years old. And I think that pushing drugs in that young as well, like, the way you're going to go is you can only then add more. And I think that that then can be quite dangerous. So I would love to see in that aspect, as purely as they're keeping young girls safe, a junior class. And I do think that that would be really, really good. For sure. So yeah, that's just some kind of a lot of thoughts there around that, around kind of the muscle. And that's where I see it as well. I see kind of bikini legs with just no upper body. And then they're like, oh, this must be wellness because my legs are bigger. Yeah, your legs are bigger and you're not in proportion, which is good, but it's just not enough. You know, it's not enough yet. So it's just having that bit more time off stage, bit longer off seasons, you know, eating a little bit more food, training really hard, and kind of building that up. And I think that kind of leads us to the next bit I want to talk about, is kind of wellness as a coach. So as a coach, I don't really coach many wellness athletes. Most of my girls are bikini and figure athletes in varying kind of degrees. So some are juniors, some are masters, some are trained, some are toned, you know. And that's kind of what most of my clients are at the moment. But in terms of wellness, when you're looking at training, you want to really be assessing, okay, You need to do it as their physique. So we can't just say, okay, you're wellness now, so you train legs four times a week and you don't train upper body. That's not really going to work for everyone. So like when we had Mia on here and Chloe, and they were saying like our upper bodies are kind of like as much as they can go now, you know, we can't really grow anymore. For them, awesome, that's going to work. Now, both those girls are pros, and if you're coming, you know, to example, for me as a coach, you're probably an amateur, you want to step on stage the first time, you're a beginner, what have you, you are still going to need to train your upper body. Even though you're wellness, you are still going to need to train those shoulders, because you still need big, bubbly shoulders, but you also need bigger, bubblier legs. So yes, there is going to be a training bias on legs. Yes, you are going to be training legs a lot more than you're training upper body, but would I still expect to see upper body in there? Yeah, absolutely. So for example, it might be like training legs three times a week and then training upper twice. If you really need to bring your upper up more, it might be training legs four times a week, training upper once. It might be training legs three times a week, doing a shoulder and glute session and an upper session. That might be another option. So your training would be more biased to legs and glutes, but you would still need to train your upper body. And I do think that is a mistake that I'm seeing, is the girls are going on stage and they have got really lovely bubbly legs, but there is just nothing upper body wise. And their feedback's coming back then, you need to build your upper body. And that can potentially be a little bit confusing, because you think, well, wellness isn't about the, you know, not that it isn't about the upper body, but it's more leg dominant. It is, yes. But we still want to see upper body development there as well. We still want to see evidence of training the upper body, especially the shoulders. I do think as well with wellness girls, like they don't really flare their lats much. So having like a really, really strong back, again, is probably something they're not really thinking about. They're probably thinking about shoulders. However, having good lats makes your waist look smaller. So I see this all the time. People are like, oh, you know, I'm doing MPC, you know, I'm doing IFBB bikini now. I want to go down that route, whatever. I don't need to train my back, because you don't open it up like you would in a PCA rear shot in bikini or figure. And that's really not the case, because if you train your lats, you will build this beautiful taper down. You think of where that lats insert, you're going to build, therefore, a beautiful taper down into your waist and make your waist look so much smaller. And in all classes, whether you're in bikini, wellness, figure, women's physique, women's bodybuilding, you still want to see a nice, small waist. They're still looking for X-frames and hourglasses. All of those nice and small in the waist. So really like just kind of think about that as well, that you still want to be training your back just to create that small waist. Are you then necessarily going to like overly flare your lat like you would in a PCA bikini style? No, you're not. But you still want that muscle mass there to show it. And just kind of remembering that it is that thirds rule, right? So it's one third upper, two thirds lower. We don't want to be like, I don't know, three quarters lower, one quarter upper, you know, because that's, it's going to be too overpowering then. We still want that balance. And like I said, when you look at, you know, the girls that have been on the podcast, the top girls in the sport, they still have a good upper body development. So yeah, that's kind of training wise how I'd be approaching it. And then conditioning wise, we've kind of already been through. So it is similar conditioning to bikini. So nice, strong tie-ins. And like, that's, I think, the biggest thing that I can get through is strong tie-ins. Now, with us women, normally, if your tie-ins are there, your upper body's going to be there. Because most of us kind of go lose fat kind of head first, head and down. That's kind of how I think about it sometimes. So for me, definitely, and if anyone that follows me on Instagram, you can see, my face is the first thing to come in. Then my upper body comes in, then my midsection, then my legs. And I find that that's the way for kind of most girls, especially as I've got kind of a little bit older, I can definitely see that more now, that is how I kind of am losing fat. And I definitely see that in the Masters girls, that they, their upper body comes in like there is nothing left at all. Then their legs come in last. So, and again, everyone's going to be slightly different. For some people as well, they're going to hold a lot more fat in the lower body. You know, when we had Hattie on here, she very much spoke openly about that. She holds her fat in her legs and not in her upper body. So again, if her legs are in, you know her upper's going to be in. And that's going to be the same for most of you. So really focus on bringing those glute ham tines in, making them nice and sharp. Again, not too sharp. We don't want to see serrations. We don't want to see, you know, dug out hamstrings, but we want to see that tie in. And I really think that is important from wellness. You want to turn to the back and just see like that beautiful tie in on each glute. So yeah, that's quite important. And I do think with wellness, the posing as well, I think that wellness girls pose really well, most of the time. So I think that that is something that you really, really need to be on it with. But I do, again, with the posing, see trends there that I think like, oh, I don't know about that. You know, really almost like squatting down in the side pose, you know, that the leg that's closest to the judges would be your straight leg. Your leg furthest from the judges would be your bent leg. But you want a straight leg with a soft knee. So we don't want it to be locked out, but we want it to be a soft knee. But what I tend to see is girls that are almost like sitting on a chair. You know, they're sitting right down. And what that does is it actually drops your glute down to the floor. It doesn't lift it up and making it look nice, high and projected, which is what we actually want to see in that wellness side pose, is that kind of projection of the glute behind you. Again, I see a lot of people leaning forwards very much in that pose to try and create that projection. But again, the judges aren't thick. Like, the judges can see that you're leaning forwards to try and make it look like it's projecting back further than it is. But actually, they know that the muscle mass maybe isn't there and you're just leaning forwards. You're probably making your waist look quite thick and you look a bit weird. Your stage presence isn't there. So again, that can kind of take away from the physique. So really thinking about still standing up tall in your poses, and just showing off what you've got and what you've built instead of trying to make things appear that aren't really there, because it kind of counteracts itself in that respect. So hopefully that makes some sense. It's kind of hard to show without being able to show you a picture, you know, on a podcast. So yeah, that's kind of posing wise what I see a lot of wellness girls. But I think the posing in wellness can be transitioned through and flowed through so beautifully. So I think it is a really nice class to show that kind of flow and femininity off, for sure. Again, with wellness, I would say styling wise and stuff, you can get away with slightly thicker straps, slightly thicker jewelry, I think, in wellness, because of the muscle, you know, bracelets and things, because of the muscle mass on the legs. So I think that's quite interesting as well. I think the styling for wellness suits and jewelry is a little bit different to what I potentially use on a bikini girl or on myself. And hair-wise of wellness, I would always say long hair, because in your back shot, your hair needs to be covering your upper body to really show off those glutes. You know, you want to still see the kind of the a little bit of shoulder from behind that rear shot, but you want your hair to be covering your back, so you can really, all the focus then is on the glutes, those beautiful ham tie-ins that you've created as well. So that's kind of styling wise where I'd go with wellness. And shoes, it's always up to you what kind of works well for you. I actually really like a cocktail for kind of wellness style posing. All my shoe fairy goddesses, they're kind of my favorite if I'm doing wellness style posing. But everyone is going to be slightly different, and what different people move in is going to be different for them. But yeah, hopefully that kind of helps. I really, really enjoy doing these kind of wellness diary series with all the guests on here. And I think I'm very lucky and blessed that these girls want to come on and kind of tell their story and tell what they see in the industry and chat to me and do all that. So massive thank you to all of the ladies that have come on and spoke about kind of their wellness journeys. And it's very exciting. I know with Danny and Chloe are both in prep now and kind of seeing their journeys and kind of where they're going this year. And, you know, with... yeah, just seeing where it's all going. And I know that for sure those girls are going to do really, really well. I honestly believe that actually in the UK now we've got some really, really good wellness girls, and like I think I was saying it on Mia's podcast with her, that I find that wellness in the UK, there's not very many really, really good wellness athletes. So to have those girls all come on the podcast is fantastic. I think with bikini, because there's so many girls that do bikini, I think that there's a lot of good bikini athletes. And then there's a few, like, obviously, absolutely incredible, fantastic, you know, pro bikini athletes as well. But yeah, amateur-wise in bikini, there's a lot of really, really good athletes. Whereas in wellness, I feel like maybe not so much. There's a very, like, a small handful. So to have those girls on here to kind of share their experiences, share their wisdom, and kind of share with you guys, like, what wellness should be, hopefully will kind of change that narrative. And hopefully this year when I'm sat judging shows, I will see more athletes that I think, like, wow, this is such a good wellness class. And people can really start to understand the criteria better, and understand, like, what it is that the judges want. And I do think, as judges, it is hard sometimes, because when you've got a lineup of athletes that are stood in front of you and none of them fit the criteria, and I think this is what people don't really understand. If you've got a lineup of athletes and none of them fit the criteria, you've got to pick out of those 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 athletes that don't fit, which one fits the best. And that's a really, really hard decision to make, because none of them actually fit. What then can happen is people see your decision and go, well, that must be what they want. You know, she's really, really soft, or she's really, really hard, or she's really not that unbalanced, or what it might be. But when you've only got a select amount of athletes on stage and none of them fit the criteria, you've just got to go with what's best. So sometimes it's not about looking at the girls that are potentially winning regional shows, you know, small regional shows, because they might be the only one. There might be only two of them, right? It's about looking at the girls that are winning the British finals. It's about looking at the girls that are winning overalls. It's about looking at the girls that are winning, you know, their pro cards, pro shows, the Olympia. When you look at all of those girls, it's very, very clear what wellness is. It's not so clear when you look at some regional shows, unfortunately. Now, like I said, I'm really hoping that in time this changes, but we can only see what happens. And kind of that's why I wanted to put this kind of Wellness Diary series together, because, like I said, right from the start, this is a class that I love, but it's a class that I don't think people understand how they should. And it's also a class that a lot of people love. And I know a lot of my athletes are like, oh, I want to look like that. I just want to be a wellness girl. And unfortunately for most of them, like, their bodies aren't, you know, designed for it. And yes, you can push your body to fit that criteria. But necessarily, are you going to do so well in it? Maybe not. And what are the risks that you're willing to take to push your body into a criteria it doesn't fit? They can be risks, or they can be complete opposites. So, you know, it may be that to fit that criteria, you know, realistically, you're going to be having to take more PEDs than you would if you were staying in bikini. Is that something that you're happy doing, you're comfortable doing, you want to do? Maybe. Awesome. If that is, go for it. If it's not, then I wouldn't be pushing myself to fit in something if I had to take an excessive amount of drugs. But also equally, I've got athletes. I had a conversation with one of my athletes the other day. She did bikini previously. She wants to stay in bikini. There's no way she's staying in bikini. She's way too big muscular-wise. And I was like, you need to do figure. Like, I'm only putting you on stage in figure because that's where you're going to fit. And she was like, yeah, but I don't know. It's different posing and it's this and that and the other. And I said, well, what you need to think of here is how you like to train. She likes to train really fucking hard. Like, she will want to throw up after she's trained. Like, she loves to train hard. And I'm saying to her, cool, like, that's how you love to train. And that is your training 364 days of the year, right? Because you're on a show, your show days say like one day of the year. You might do two or three. But 364 days of the year, you are training like that. You are eating like that. That's what you enjoy. Now, if you stayed in bikini, I would have to say to you, you need to stop training so hard. You need to stop training your shoulders now. You need to stop training your arms now. You need to stop training your legs. You just need to do pump sessions. You can't train hard. You can only do like these exercises. You can't do compound lifts, etc., etc. Now, is she then going to enjoy her training 364 days a year? No. She's probably going to really fucking resent it. And she's probably going to be like, do you know what? I'm done with bodybuilding because I can't train how I want to train. And that isn't really much fun because she fucking loves training. So she goes into figure, right? She can continue doing her compound lifts. She continue training hard. She continue just training to absolute fucking failure every single set, which is what she loves and is why she's built the muscle she has. And I told her that. And she went, yeah, you're completely right. Because it would throw her head off if she couldn't train how she likes to train. Now, that's just something else kind of to think about, is just how you're pushing your body into a class. Do you fit in that class? Do you maybe fit better in another class? Like, really listen to your coach, but also listen to yourself. Like, where does your heart want to take you? Where do you like the look of? And how do you like to train? Because all of those are really important factors. And you've got to think of the 364 days, not the one day. Equally though, in bikini, you can still train fucking hard and push yourself to absolute fucking failure. But some people just grow a lot quicker than others. I train like that. I train like an absolute savage and I'm not that massive. So, well, I'm not massive at all. So yeah, it clearly takes a lot more for me to grow than for her. So everyone is slightly different. And it is everyone's just genetics and how they are. I think I'm going to wrap it up here. But yeah, if you enjoyed the Wellness Diaries, please let me know. If you've not listened to them all yet, please go listen back to them all. You've got Hattie, Cassie, Mia, Chloe and Danny. And then obviously finishing off with my final one on my own here. And if you'd like me to do another series focusing on another topic, so I'm not sure what that might be, whatever you want. So obviously we've done the wellness series. I've had loads of different people on here talking about different things. We've spoken about supplements. We've talked about coaching. We've spoken about PED use. We've spoken about judging criteria. But if you want me to do like another series like the Wellness Diaries, please drop me a message and let me know. I'm always open to suggestions with different series, different guests, different kind of things that you guys want on. And I'll always do my best to bring those people on if I like them. and yeah, if I think they've got something good to say. So yeah, thank you so much for listening. Please follow the podcast, share it on your stories, and then you can know when the next episode is coming out. And if you're not following me on Instagram and you'd like to drop me a message for any coaching, whether that's wellness coaching, posing or figure and bikini coaching as well, I cover the lot. If you're a female, I can help you out. Or whether it's lifestyle coaching as well, drop me a message on Instagram, or if you go in the link in my bio, there's a form there that you can fill out. And my Instagram is mollyjane_bikini. And yeah, I will catch you guys in the next one. Thanks very much. Bye.